This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer Report. On environmental racism, yes. Environmental diversity, still no, 25 years later. Almost 25 years ago, in 1990, in an effort led by Richard Moore, co-director of the Southwest Organizing Project based in Albuquerque, a letter on their stationery signed by a number of community leaders was addressed to the head of the National Wildlife Federation and the Big Ten environmental organizations and demanded that they diversify, not simply to reflect the population, but to understand the ravages of environmental racism that weighed most heavily on communities of color and lesser income. There are a lot of articles about the problem. There are a lot of communities and committees organized and a large number of promises to do better. Moving forward now that there is an even greater awareness of the life or death importance of environmental issues and a much deeper understanding of environmental racism, what's the story now? Well, it's not pretty. And it seems not to have changed much in 25 years, according to a just released report covered by the Los Angeles Times. The report found that while people of color make up about 38% of the U.S. population, they represent 12 to 15.5% of the staffs of environmentally focused foundations, nonprofits, and government agencies. None of the largest environmental organizations have a person of color as president, vice president, or assistant associate director, according to the study, which was conducted by the University of Michigan professor Dorcita Taylor and commissioned by Green 2.0, a working group focused on addressing diversity challenges in the environmental movement. The numbers don't lie, Taylor said. Even more troubling, although most of the survey respondents expressed an interest in bridging this diversity gap, they admit their organizations are unlikely to take the necessary steps to do so. Environmental organizations surveyed attributed the lack of staff diversity to a shortage of open positions and qualified applicants. Geez, a shortage of open positions and qualified applicants sounds a lot like the responses we've heard now since the 1950s, every time there is a demand for diversity and change in representational hiring practices. Sadly, I don't even want to think about how much of the 12 to 15% diversity they have reflects the fact that so many of these outfits are D.C.-based in a city more than 75% African-American and therefore able to fill the office staffs and lower positions easily. And is environmental racism still a huge issue? Damn straight. A grist.org story lays it out well. It's true, you can't 1,000% separate race and class, but new findings from the University of Minnesota found that race, more than income, determines who smog hurts the most. Rights Think Progress. When low-income white people were compared to high-income Hispanic people, the latter group experienced higher levels of nitrogen dioxide. Although people of color in the U.S. breathe air with 38% more nitrogen dioxide in it than their white counterparts, particularly due to power plants and exhaust from vehicles. Unfair, especially because people of color produce less air pollution than white people. African Americans, for example, emit 20% less CO2 than white Americans. So why is this happening? You know, other than racism, race Atlantic cities. That's still a subject for further investigation. University of Minnesota professor Julian Marshall notes that one theory is that non-whites tend to live in pollution-rich downtown areas and near freeways. Looking for more proof? Then check out a devastating analysis of the disproportionate effects of pollution on minorities living in Los Angeles by Professor Edward Martin and Serena Doe in the current issue of Social Policy. The evidence is everywhere. Big environmental organizations may be having trouble finding open slots or people that can fill them, but the facts are ubiquitous in our cities. Maybe they're finding it harder to talk to black and brown people compared to dolphins, polar bears, and trees, but they need to do so and do it yesterday because time has run out. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.